Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of the Tremors Cast, the podcast accompanying the first book on the Tremors franchise, Seeking Perfection, the unofficial guide to Tremors. My name is Jonathan Melville, and I'm the author of Seeking Perfection, which was released in 2015 to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Universal Creature Feature. This episode is due to arrive in iTunes on the 19th of January 2016, 26 years to the day since Tremors was released into US cinemas, so it only seemed right to celebrate the occasion with an appearance on the podcast by Kevin Bacon. I interviewed him early in 2015 about his work on Tremors, and some of that interview is coming up in a few minutes' time. First, though, I wanted to mention that it's been a little while since the last episode of the Tremors cast, the main reason being down to the amount of work involved in completing the book and publishing it. The podcast had to take a backseat for a while. For those who haven't read Seeking Perfection, I'll mention that it's 306 pages of Tremors goodness, featuring interviews with more than 50 people involved in the Tremors film and TV franchise, including writers S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock, director Ron Underwood, and stars Kevin Bacon and Michael Gross. The response to the book's release has been fantastic, with some brilliant reviews from the likes of Empire Magazine and Starburst, and it's also been great to hear from fans of the films on Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at facebook.com/Tremors Guide and twitter.com/Tremors Guide. Before I get to the Kevin Bacon interview, I wanted to say that my plan is to release at least one new episode of the podcast each month in 2016, bringing you news from around the Tremors universe and audio from some of the 50 plus interviews I carried out for the book. It looks like 2016 is going to be a busy one for Tremors fans, with the recent news that Kevin Bacon plans to bring Tremors back to the small screen along with Blumhouse Productions, the company behind the Paranormal Activity films. We've also heard rumblings that Universal are interested in a Tremors 6 movie. 2016 also marks the 20th anniversary of Tremors 2's release on home video, and I'll be covering that and more throughout the year. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, then please feel free to leave a rating on iTunes or give me a shout on Twitter or Facebook. If people want more, then I'll find the time to record more. But now, as promised, here's some of the audio from the interview I carried out with Kevin Bacon. It took me almost 2 years to track Kevin down, and when we spoke, he was happy to talk about his time on Tremors and about why he didn't return for Tremors 2. He also spoke about his desire to return to the world of Tremors, something that looks like it could become a reality very soon. I started by asking him what he thought about the script the first time he read it.
It was hard for me to put my finger on what the tone of it would be. Yeah. And the thing about the movie is that it does have a tone that's not awfully often accomplished with success, and that is to make something scary and sort of humorous at the same time. I mean, you know, an example of another movie that just pops into head. Into my head, especially since you're in the UK, is Shaun of the Dead. But when those or American Werewolf in London, I guess has a little bit of that too. You know, those movies work well. They can be really cool, but they are tough to pull off. So, you know, I was a little reticent, but there was something fun about that character to me, and about the relationship between those two guys. You know, grown men who were just kind of like, you know, losers, and when you have two sort of losers who are put into a situation of having to rise to a level of heroism, I think it can be kind of fun. And so I just was really kind of taking a flyer on it, but I can't say that I was like feeling like, oh wow, I found it. This is the one.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned the tone there, which of course confused the studios when the guys at Stampede were trying to sell this to the studios. And Finn Carter says that she remembers being on set one day and saying to you, are we in the same movie? Because I think she couldn't quite get the humour. And I just wonder if you remember that moment and just kind of her reaction to what was going on in Lone Pine.
I don't remember that moment. No, I don't. But okay. But I do think that, I think when the movie was done, I think that the studio, you know, maybe in the selling of it initially, but you know, it wasn't Universal's film, I think, from the beginning. It's not like Universal picked it up.
Yeah.
But but they, I think that there was some confusion about how to sell it, you know. You know, it was just a difficult, it was a difficult one to put out there. And, you know, what people sort of forget is that, it was not a success, you know, at the box office.
Yeah.
That it was, sort of a pioneer in the idea that something that didn't work, theatrically could have a long and fruitful life on VHS.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And just kind of build and build and build and continue to, you know, continue to be impactful. You know, I think a lot of people, especially younger people, have kind of discovered the movie. They sort of assumed that you know it was a big monster hit, so to speak. But boy, it really was not.
I then asked what it was like working with Fred Ward. And just briefly, someone else mentioned, I think it was Ron Underwood, that James Garner was originally attached to the role of Earl. And Reba McEntire said she thought that he was going to be there when she arrived on set. Can you remember James Garner's name?
I had no idea, no.
No?
I had no idea. I've never heard that story. That's hilarious.
Yeah, she says she turned up saying, "Where's Garner?" And he wasn't there. But what was it like working with Fred? So what was it like working with Fred, opposite Fred?
Oh, I love Fred. I love Fred. You know, we had, you know, made friends right away. And he's a great, fascinating guy. He's very sort of, you know, kind of eccentric guy, you know, really into interesting, you know, kind of philosophies, and is very, very well read. He was always talking about books. I never read books, and he was like constantly talking to me about books. He was also obsessed with Django Reinhardt and jazz guitar. Was studying like very, very, really hard at playing jazz guitar like Django Reinhardt, and you know, obviously he was a little older than me and had a kid, at least one kid at that point. My wife was pregnant with our first child, so while we were shooting the movie, so I was, you know, kind of was looking to him for some, you know, if not specific advice, just sort of, you know, living by example of, you know, being an actor and having a child. But I liked him. We had a really fun time working together.
One story I touched on in the book was that of Kevin's eardrum getting blown out during a shooting sequence. They didn't get a chance to put his memory of that into the book. So here's a small audio exclusive. Someone mentioned that you, I think you blew your eardrum out. Is that true? When you were taking a shot or firing a gun was shot or something?
You know, I really forgot about that. But it's funny you mention that because I actually have some trouble with my ears now, and I have to be really careful when I'm, you know, I'm on a TV show now, and I shoot all the time, mm-hmm. and I have to constantly, you know, wear earplugs all the time, because what happens is I get really bad vertigo,
right,
and it makes me like if I shoot a gun and I don't have the earplugs in, I'll have to sit down. You know, I can't. I get really super dizzy. And so I guess that maybe that's where it started. I forgot. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Blame
Chairman. I remember that we had a gun, you know, technician expert. Obviously, there were a lot of guns and you know, the Michael Gross character had a ton of guns. And I think I had some guns to use. And I remember they took us out with a whole collection. And we just went out to the desert one day and just started, you know, shooting things, you know. I mean, things that we were never going to use in the movie. We just had a ton of guns. I was like, wow, it's kind of fun just shooting into the side of a wall or something like that.
Yeah. Finally, I asked about Kevin's thoughts on Tremors today and a possible return to perfection. And yet recently I saw you've been interviewed, and you said you watched the film again recently, and you stated you'd like to see, you'd maybe like to return to the part of Val.
I would love to. But not as a Tremors 6, you know what I mean, or a 7 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
My feeling would be to revisit it as a new movie. You know, that the sequels would you know, it wouldn't be a remake of the old one, but it would be a reboot. And one of the things that I like about it is I think that this guy is one of the few characters that I've ever played that I would be interested in seeing where he is 25 years later. You know, like who does that guy grow into?
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know? There's a lot of possibilities about what could have happened in his life in 25 years, and that's the thing. You know, for me, it always goes back to character, but that's the thing that would be kind of fun to explore. But they don't. Universal doesn't seem to be interested, so it's sort of moot.
Thanks to Kevin for taking the time to speak to me. There's lots more from him in the book, and you can find him on Twitter by going to twitter.com/KevinBacon. That's it for this episode. Check out the blog at tremorsguide.com for links to previous podcasts, including interviews with Tremors creators S.S. Wilson and Brent Maddock, director Ron Underwood, and actors Tony Gennaro and Ariana Richards. Finally, thanks to Emilia Rivera Allegra for supplying the music for the podcast. You can find more about her in the show notes for the podcast. Until next time, keep watching the ground.